Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Johnny, with us?
Yeah, that was fun.
Okay,
that
let's
was
go
weird.
Ahead and get started. This is an issue of Blog Talk. I think we had some opposition there that got into the queue there, so I had to do some, a little bit of damage control, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Joel will be in just a minute, so why don't you go ahead and take off, get started on it.
Well, hello there. So are we on?
Yes, we're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, Gerald's going to be on here in a sec, and we were going to kind of go over what's currently the status of the Blue Water Navy bill that had the House Resolution Number 299. And what is what has occurred fairly recently with that is the main committee headed by Chairman Dr. Rowe has moved that bill 299 to be out of committee and heard by the House and to be voted on. And when that happens, it essentially was not released through its subcommittee that it was assigned to. So it goes on to a special calendar. I don't have any information on when it's actually going to be hitting the floor for a vote, but it's on the union calendar, and there's some information on that you can find on the web. I have a concern with the way that it's currently structured in terms of what it explains it's going to do and how it was funded and that sort of thing. What they did, essentially, was send the information to the Congressional Budget Office saying, you know, what is this bill going to cost? The Congressional Budget Office ran its numbers. They used some additional previous information from the Department of Defense Manpower Data Center to find out how many active duty naval personnel there were in Vietnam. Now, back in those days in Vietnam meant you were in the theater of combat and you had been awarded the Vietnam Service Medal. That got changed a bit later, but this was real-time counting of heads who was there, where they were, and then casualty reports were created from the initial data. But what it also did for them is it gave them a head count of how many people from each of the branches of services were on active duty in various locations worldwide and then Southeast Asia, and then more specifically in Vietnam. Those numbers show that there were 174,000 Blue Water sailors in Vietnam, or let's make that more specific, 174,000 Navy personnel in Vietnam. Some Navy guys were on shore, somewhere on the riverine forces. Go ahead.
Ray, did you make it in there?
Yeah,
how you doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
How are you?
Okay. You got a question for John here or a comment?
Well, my question is the what I get into, I have no problem with some guys that were referred to sometimes as the river rats that ran up and down the Delta. But then I also had a question, how do we know how much the dilution was? And in all the ships, I know there's a few of them, how many of the ships actually had Agent Orange on them? I've spoken to two Navy personnel who knew that they were on there, and after the drones had been removed and they had to clean out the storage hole where they had kept the drones. You know, was there Agent Orange on each one of the ships, or is this based strictly on what got into the ocean and into the water? That would be my question.
Well, let me jump on that one. There's really no data that's available for anybody that was in Vietnam, not even the guys that had their boots on the ground. So, for instance, if you want to know some kind of measurement of how much Agent Orange someone was exposed to, it doesn't exist. And essentially that's why they turned it into something called the presumptive exposure. Nobody knows which ships were contaminated specifically by the ingestion of water, the taking in of water to cool the boilers and also to make fresh water on the ship. There's nobody who has data on that measurement of which ships took in more or less or any at all. But the contamination of the water aboard the ships is certainly not the only way that the Agent Orange was got out to the Seventh Fleet. And there was a study done a few years ago by the Institute of Medicine that essentially is called the Blue Water Navy and Agent Orange study. One of the key ways that they left out of that study that would be the travel of contamination out to the ships from the shore was movement of people, materials, equipment, mailbags, etc., from the airstrip in Da Nang and other places out to the various ships, and it usually went out to a carrier, and then from there the carrier distributed it to the other ships in its group or flotilla. So there is no way to find out how much and which ships. So it's got to be an assumption that, and a presumption that they were exposed. Does that help at all?
Yeah, that helps a whole lot to know if there was any data or no data. The only other question that I have, I actually called my congressman's office this morning and did not get a reply back of any type. I told him what I was looking for. And my main thing I wanted to know was how was he going to vote on it. But I have a lot of concern in the way they plan on paying for it. If I understood it correctly, they may be reducing some of the benefits that are now in place.
Well, that one I'm not able to address specifically, but you asked how it's going to be paid for. The way this is currently written up, it's going to be the source of the money is going to be the VA home loan program, and there is suggestions of new funds and that can be added to the VA home loan program payments, and those funds will be specifically going into the K committee that's going to cover not only Blue Water Navy, but there are some additions to the Thailand veteran exposure and also the Korean DMZ exposure. So the answer to the question is they're going to use money from the VA home loan program to pay the disabilities of the veterans who don't now have the presumption of exposure.
Well, now, if they do that, that's actually taking money out of the veterans' pockets that's earned those benefits. I don't know how they can start charging veterans that's already earned benefits and has a home loan, and all of a sudden their bill goes up. Now they talk $2 or $3, but in reality, I could see that jumping to 25 or 50 or even 100. Who knows? When you get down to the bottom line, if the Blue Water Navy or Congress determines that the Blue Water Navy is deserving of compensation for Agent Orange exposure, then the VA needs to cough up the funds, not take it away from other veterans.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's definitely something to be upset about. As you recall, in the past, one of the suggestions of paying for this bill was by a round down of money that is paid to people already receiving compensation. And the way that would work is if you received $100.12 every month, let's say, they would take that 12 cents and put it into a different kitty. And even if you made $100.99 every month in your check, they would take that 99 cents, round down that particular check to $100. They throw the 99 cents in to a kitty, and those disabled veterans who had the round down would be footing the bill for the Blue Water Navy. There was a lot of outcry at that point because the veterans should not be needing to pay for other veterans out of their own disability funding. That went away, but what it was replaced by was this theory that they could up the cost of the veteran home loans and take the money out of that. Now, it seems a little bit more distant from the taking it directly out of a disability check, but Gerald, you're perfectly right. The bottom line is they're still going to be paying one group of veterans in their disabilities taken out of another benefit, a veteran home loan, that other veterans qualify for. So there is your Peter, robbing Peter to pay Paul. That's what's going to happen.
Well, that's what it looks like it's going to happen. What else would, you know, can you call it? It's taking money out of a already allocated, their funds already allocated for veterans that, you know, it's allocated to those veterans. Now, why add on to the burden by taking some of that away from them, expecting them, you know, it'd be like me come along and you'd say, hey, you got to pay my electric bill this month. You know, I didn't use your electric.
Well, you're right there. to an extent. In the case of using the VA home loan, though, these are going to be new assessments that are put on to the payments of the VA loan. So it's not existing money, but what it is that they're doing is they're going to have veterans pay dollars, whether they're new dollars or old dollars, that doesn't matter, I guess. They're going to have those veterans pay for some other benefits that veterans in another category need.
Yeah. I think it's something we're going to have to watch real carefully, because this is the wrong approach. They have a right way of doing this, and they know it. And this is not it. Because there's no telling where this would stop. They said a president been able to take, make a group of veterans pay other veterans compensation, and no tell where it'll stop. And you know, excuse me, you know the VA, once they're able to pull one of these tricks off, they won't stop. They'll keep doing it. And we shouldn't even let it get started. I would recommend all veterans out there, with especially with home loans, you know, this time it's home loans, next time it might be one of your artificial legs. They say, well, we just won't put a foot on this guy's leg, you know, or an arm. We just won't put a hand on this arm. It could be, there's no end of what the crazy fools will do.
Well, those are interesting analogies, Gerald. That's kind of bringing it right into your face. There's no way to project what, quote, could happen, unquote, because, as we know, it's a new trick that they are going to learn, and anything can happen.
We need everyone out there, all the veterans out there listening, and to tell other veterans, at least the very minimum, call your representatives, your congressmen, your senators, even your state officials, call them. Call everyone you can and put in an opposition to this this sort of tactics, because if Congress says the Blue Water Navy is deserving for compensation due to Agent Orange exposure, then the VA should have to cough up the money. Now, the government prints off plenty of money, lots of money. And they can't tell me they don't know where they get the money. Well, they get it from printing presses. We make our own money. So the fact they don't know where to get the money from, that don't make any sense. Congress can just authorize it. So why in the world would they want to take it from a poor veteran? Already most of us are poor church mice anyway. Don't get much money. Just because you got a home loan don't mean you're getting compensation. And I'm sure there are numerous veterans that have home loans that do not draw compensation. So you know, they have to get more logical. They know what they're doing.
there is a couple of problems that arise when you are going to base this whole thing on the dollars that are added to the VA home loans. When it was first talked about, as I recall, they were saying, well, you know, one thing we wouldn't do is make disabled veterans pay for other disabled veterans. And then for some reason they thought, in their strange way of thinking, that, well, if someone had a home loan and they weren't disabled, then they'd be more the proper person to take more money from and to pay for the disabled veterans. And that's a pretty flawed way of looking at things. The second big problem with this VA home loan thing is we're watching less and less of our population join the military, and the logical conclusion of that is there will be less and less veterans in the future. So that pot of money is going to be decreasing over time. Not sure that they're going to get a continuous inflow into that veteran home loan program to pay for this particular deal over 10 years. But the bottom line is, no, the veteran should not have to pay for another veteran's problems, whether it's disability or otherwise. You said it really clearly. If Congress is saying, all right, let's get this thing passed, because in this instance it's Blue Water Navy, and they are definitely deserving of the benefits for exposure, then they've already got the laws in place to say, well, we know the source of money for that. That's going to come from the VA's either... well, there's two types of payments to the in the budgets, but you're right. They shouldn't have veterans paying for other veteran benefits, and I agree with you. I think people ought to get on the line to their local representatives and their local representatives in the federal government and get some complaints going. Another option is going to the committee, the House Committee of Veteran Affairs, that's chaired by Dr. Phil Rowe. And I don't have a phone number for them, but I do have a fax number that goes directly into the House Veteran Committee office, which is different than Dr. Rowe's private office there. Let me give that number out. This is a fax number, so you'd have to write this out and send it to 202. That's a Washington area code, 202-225-5486. But I'd say do that in addition to talking to your representatives and senators about anything that bothers you with this way that they're setting up. That, like that Gerald says, it's bound to go south somewhere at some time.
Yeah, it... it just don't make sense. I mean, how on earth can they justify this? But if we're going to try it, then we need to head them off, and the best way to do that is use your legislators and give them all a call, your congressmen and senators, your House representatives, everybody. Even if you can catch a dog, catch it going down the street, complain to him. But anyone, because this is not right, and there's a way to take care of veterans that's been harmed in the service, and they ought to do that right. I can't believe that the VA would even address such an issue in this manner. They know it's not right.
Well, and unfortunately, in this case, they're being directed to do so by the Congress, because they're working on the legislation that then it gets handed to the VA, and they say, okay, well, here's the legislation, VA, you work up a plan to how you're gonna do these benefits. There's another issue that comes a little bit before this, and it has specifically to do with how they're creating the logic that's going to consider who they're going to cover with this new presumptive exposure. Who's going to get that within this, quote, Blue Water Navy situation? When the Congressional Budget Office worked up budget for how much this is going to cost, they counted all the personnel that served in the theater of combat. So there's a specific number, and I was starting to talk about that earlier. It's 174,000. They're going to count all those people, and then they're going to say, not all the 174,000 are even eligible to get these benefits. It's only the guys that were in the territorial seas, right up close to shore, which is just a small portion of the entire theater of combat. So it's like, okay, we're going to count up everybody, and then we're going to count up 270,000. Veterans, 174,000. I'm sorry, 174,000 veterans. But we're only going to let 50,000 of those veterans get the benefits. And I just kind of made up those numbers, but it's what they're doing is they're setting it up so that only a portion of who they counted to make the dollars. Not every one of those guys is going to get the benefits, and it's. Illogical. It's absurd, and that ought to be stopped right in its tracks also.
I agree.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Why in the world, they're using one count for one thing, and then the actuality will be a lot less, so therefore, they've allocated more funds than what they need. And yourself, there's going to be a lot of deserving veterans that's left without.
And once again, this program, that's right.
I think that what I've read was, 12 miles offshore, or was it 25 miles offshore that they was going to try to hold to? And I don't know whether they ever got that distance, whether it be 12 or 25 or 100 miles, whether they ever actually got that ironed out, did they?
I'm not a part of that particular the issue that's going on, but my understanding is they're still arguing about it. Let me run through a little bit of history on exactly what the terms are that have been used. For some reason, instead of the entire theater of combat, things were moved closer to shore to a territorial sea. Now, the definition of a territorial sea is what a specific country claims as their territorial waters. In the case of the United States, we claim 12 miles from shoreline. And that's I want to say, more than 80% of countries that do that. But then there's another way to do it, and this is the way Vietnam claimed that how to define their territorial seas. Instead of going from the shoreline, they would go from a baseline, and the baseline would vary in terms of its distance from shore. The reason that they would do that is they have groups of islands that lay off the shore that are more than the standard 12 miles, that they need to swing out this this baseline out further from shore. And to set the territorial sea limits, it's 12 miles from baseline. When this was first introduced, there were people who were kind of throwing that term around and just assuming that all of the legislators knew that when we talked about the territorial seas, it was not 12 miles from shore, it was 12 miles from the baseline, which, again, varies its distance from shore. But they didn't specify that. And whenever you heard someone talk about Blue Water Navy and, oh, we're going to help these guys, they were always talking about 12 miles from shore. So that argument exists right now. Are they going to use 12 miles from shore? Are they going to use 12 miles from baseline? And it's, in some cases, a pretty extreme difference. As that baseline gets around the Mekong Delta, it sits out, I want to say it's 40 miles plus in some cases. So it's quite a distance from this 12 miles from shoreline. Anyway, that's a little bit of history on the term and the definitions of territorial seas.
Oh, you know, I think what I read, it was a 12 mile. Maybe they settled on 25 mile, but I forget what I read. But anyway, that's something there that certainly has to be nailed down. But we still go back to where we need to put a stop to this, making other veterans pay for this package here. I don't see how the Congress can come in and say, we're going to make this group of veterans pay for that group of veterans, for their disabilities.
Well, that's something that shouldn't happen. They obviously are doing that because that's the way it's currently proposed to be set up. Now we have to remember that at least as of today, as far as I know, this thing hasn't passed through the House. It hasn't been voted by the House. And then after that, it's got to go through the Senate. It seems to me that with the issues that you're bringing up, Gerald, and with the issues of the confusion in the definition of territorial seas, there's a lot of reason to start throwing up some red flags and having people contact their legislators and say, hey, you guys, wait a minute. It's time to rethink how this thing's being paid for, how it's being defined, and is there a common ground somebody can find where the question of should veterans pay for other veterans gets thrown on the table, because that's been actually thrown out before.
Yeah, I don't know. The only remedy I can see here is if everyone contacts their legislators, we have to nip this in the bud as soon as possible, because should it by accident become law, then it's going to be nearly impossible to get it turned around.
That's right. Once they get one of these things set in place, it's much harder to get it stopped than it is to even get it started. So now's the time for the veterans to act. Now's the time to speak out and stop, to throw up the red flag and say this is not right, and it has to be rethought. And by the way, if you guys think that there is disability that should be paid, then get that out of the VA's budget, because that's exactly where it was supposed to come from in the first place.
Exactly. And it would be better if everyone wrote letters, but the ones that's not able to write letters, at least make a phone call. And this is the bill, H.R. 299. And did they have that mixed in with another bill, John?
Well, it seems to me that they did. It includes some of the Thailand veterans and some of the guys from the DMZ in Korea, and those did exist at one time in another proposed legislation. So they're mixing a bunch of stuff here in with what had been Blue Water Navy bill, which is H.R. 299. And I would say that somehow there's a commingling some previous ideas into one write up here.
Well, yeah. So you can see their game plan. And I'm sure these other groups that they're pulling in with this, or put this in with them. See that. That's going to come out of the home loans too, right?
That's the way it's currently written. Yep, it'll come out of those dollars, extra dollars that they're putting on to home loan closure costs and things like that.
So they're already making their move. And we know a lot of those veterans are deserving too, need proper compensation.
Gerald, I got a quick question. This is Ray again. What about these veterans that, for example, a retired veteran out of the Air Force or Army or whatever, that don't take out a VA loan? There is more of those than there is of the ones that do take out a VA loan.
That could be, but if they're able to pull this off right, they'll come back with a hit on people that ain't been hit on yet. I'm suspecting this just opens the door for them.
Well, another thing that it opens the door for, and this is probably the scariest part, is if this precedent gets set where you can use one disability or welfare or whatever program and take money from that and move it over to another program by the agencies, such as the Department of Veteran Affairs. What's going to stop the Department of Welfare from taking a bit of this particular benefit they have and giving it over to some other portion of benefits that may not even be in their department? I think this the sleight of hand with the dollars is what I heard Gerald saying. We've got a problem here, and let's blow the horn now.
Yeah, Right now it's home loans. Tomorrow might be something else. And who knows where it'll end. That's the issue. And they can tell you whatever they want. This is just a one-time deal. But next week they'll have a new one going. You know, the ones that's not, that don't have a VA home loan, it seems to me under this bill, they're not affected. But it don't mean they can't come back and say, hey, we got this old group that ain't touched yet. These retirees, let's just take a 2-3%, give them a 2-3% reduction to help these guys that was on the moon, you know, pay their bills for them. There's no end to where this thing could stop that I see.
No, I understand what you're saying, and we kind of have a history of watching Congress sort of take advantage of things in the process, really screw up what had been in place. So anybody who doesn't have total faith in how Congress does things, I think those are legitimate concerns.
Well, yeah, I believe everyone ought to contact their legislators. You know, if your benefits should be your benefits. And, you know, they shouldn't come back and start diluting your benefits. $2-3, you know, they make it sound like nothing. But whenever it comes down to the real deal, that could turn into, who knows, $50, $100 or even more. Say, oh, we messed up, but we got to change this number. I'm sure that $2-3 is not set in stone. And the VA ought to pay the bill anyway. What are we doing paying the VA's bill?
Yeah, there's the crux of the issue right there. Why wasn't this set up to be an expense that the VA legitimately has paid for years and years? Something special is going on, and it started with this Blue Water Navy thing, and who knows what they're going to do in the future. I think you put your finger on a real serious concern here.
What it could actually end up leading to is possibly the veteran would end up paying enough or have enough taken out, excuse me, to turn it over to an insurance policy type, and therefore the veteran would be paying for his own insurance, for his own coverage. And that's the way, you know, they're wanting the veteran to be out of the VA medical system anyway. And this might be a way that they plan on eventually getting enough funds to pay for the outside sourcing in order to get the veteran to use more local doctors near their home and not have to come up with the funds to pay an insurance group or whatever to administer it. I can see where that could lead down the road in 4 or 5 years easily, to where the veteran would be actually having enough money taken out of his benefits to pay for his own medical insurance.
Absolutely. They've been talking real strong about that sort of thing too, Ray.
You're right.
And I'd be concerned. Yeah, they're going because they want to privatize it, and then next thing they'll say, well, we got this policy. You're going to have to take this policy to help pay these bills. We can't pay them all. And so you end up paying, you know, $300 or $400 a month or $500 a month for health insurance. So, you know, this
That's right. What scares me the most about that is when we're talking about Blue Navy. Well, you go say something to a doctor today on the outside, and you mention Blue Navy, he scratches his head. He has no idea what you're talking about. I have personally found that sometimes I say something about Agent Orange, they don't know what they're talking about. So there is a, you know, who's going to train these doctors on the outside to understand about these microscopic flea bites that the guys are getting in their lungs coming back from the Middle East, or the burn pit problems that they're having with their lungs? That's what's going on today, is trying to find out, is there a cure? What can they do to cure it? And it's still continuing. And some of the head trauma that's going on today now in the Middle East that we did not have that much on while we served in Vietnam. So, you know, that really we've got to stop this now and make the Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration step up and take the responsibility and quit trying to pass the buck off onto the veteran.
That's exactly right. And if we don't do it now, oh, Lord. But, yeah, I know what you're saying there, because every time I go in the hospital, I tell them, now, I was involved in weapons of mass destruction testing, and they didn't have a clue what I was talking about. Oh, they wouldn't do that to their own troops. Well, they did, and they still do, I suspect. But that's not going to change the fact whether or not you're going to have to pay for your insurance. It's just a deal here to get the door open, I believe. That's to be the first step, make it $2-3 deal, and then when it ends up, could be considerably more. There's no way of telling. For sure, it won't be less. You know, like I told John, it's why should I have to pay your electric bill? You know, that's what they're wanting to do.
Well, like you say, there's this seems to be setting something up that can be abused in the future, and it needs to be at least stopped long enough to look through all the details of it to make sure it's not that scary item that can change in the future and start moving money from money. Another. It's just this is a long way to do it, and it's time to make things stop and take a quick look at our eyes. I mean, a serious, a deep look to see.
Well, if it gets through Congress, then we have to move on the president to get him to veto it. And the thing to do is nip it in the bud while it's sitting here in line, where they'll table it or do something till further investigation can be done. I can't imagine a congressman or a senator going for this, knowing that the history of the VA and their dealings has not been exactly honorable, and they can see the abuse themselves where the possibility of abuse can occur here. And I don't think anyone's given the true numbers. They're talking one number, and then they talk another number. Well, we're going to take out for $174,000, but in actuality, we're only going to pay $50,000. Well, what are they taking out for? That right there would make me worry. What about these other veterans getting left behind?
Yep, that's exactly what's at issue here.
Yeah, if they have a Vietnam service medal, or, you know, that it should automatically include them.
Well, you know, they tried that in the past, and the argument that came up was, well, wait a minute. Now, there were some of these Vietnam service medals given to guys that, for instance, flew over the airspace of Vietnam at 20 or 30,000 feet with oxygen masks on and all that, and they're claiming that they have been getting claims for benefits for people like this. With this specific instance, with Blue Water Navy, that's not going to be hard to weed those guys out, because you say, okay, show your proof that you were under the command of a naval vessel, and you're eligible. And the Air Force is not, or anybody who flew that high is not going to be able to do that. So there's a way to weed that now.
Yes, there is. You're right. I don't know. But, folks, contact your legislators, please. Mail, phone, both.
Email, phone.
Email.
Reach out and talk to them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the VA likes
to hire. Anywhere you can get all of them, start doing it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The VA likes to hire creative thinkers, and that's one of their KSAs to be acclaimed person, is to be a creative writer, a creative thinker. A little innuendos like determining that veterans had to have boots on the ground and that they flew over in the air in order to deprive a benefit for a veteran served in Vietnam came from one of those creative thinkers, and they, you know, they hire them every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
does,
they never
true.
Offered
I mean,
me a job.
Well, believe me, I used to have one. I'm glad I left it. No.
Well, Gerald, I got a question on this part. If they pass this and get this regulated started, do you think we could get every veteran to donate a penny so that you can get that new toilet paper dispenser fixed and repaired?
Well, I'll sure put in for it. I would think they should, don't you?
Well, I think so. And when you get that, I'll ask for one for my truck. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah,
Gerald,
I need
to pay
it
for
bad.
Get the DOD to pay for it. Get the DOD to pay for it. $800 for a toilet seat, $1,000 for a hammer.
Yeah. Hell, they can surely afford a toilet paper dispenser.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hell,
sure. Mine
they saving
the
money off you. Well, they could probably sell a couple of sweaters and pay for that, Gerald.
Yeah. Oh, I bet they could. They probably got a lot of shredders. Trouble is, they'll burn up.
I guess they just ain't found the delete button, you know, on the computer.
Well, they're quite a bunch. They never quit trying.
Yeah.
But this is one heck of a wing-ding deal. And, folks, you got to do something about it, or there's no telling where it'll end up. We're not trying to throw a scare into you. Just facts are facts. So,
well, you know, the previous secretary, Shulkin, he did say one thing. He told the truth about it. He said, to be in such a non-adversarial system, this is the most adversarial thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it.
Well, you know, Gerald, some of the veterans, Gerald, some of the veterans need, yeah, the thing that we need to keep in mind, when a local veteran calls his local representative and talks with someone in his office, that has a whole lot more than sometimes an American Legion or VFW or whatever, just due to the fact that for every veteran that calls his congressman, you know he's going to have somewhere between 10 to 20 other individuals that he can give input on and have something to do with the next time that particular congressman runs for office. So the veteran needs to understand he is really a powerful tool. His voice is very strong, and he needs to use it and call his local congressman and tell him how many veterans he knows. You know, I know 5 veterans. I know 10. I know 20. And you know, I would like to ask you not to vote for this, not only for myself, but on their behalf. And you'd be surprised that the numbers, how they crunch them and multiply their phone calls. You know, one phone call they may not pay a lot of attention to. 25, they'll think about it, but you get 100, and they're really going to get serious about thinking, because they know for every 100, there's another 2,000 that's feeling the same way.
Well, anyway, we need to start calling. I'll call them one day, and my name will be Gerald. Next day, it'll be Pete or something.
Just, I'll tell you what, Gerald, you'll get much further if you'd say your name was James Cripps. You get a whole lot further.
Yeah, I'd say this is James Cripps. Yeah, and I got a big truck. I'm going to run it right through your office. You don't shape up. Yeah, we got to make calls. And I don't know if it'd do any good to call that presidential hotline or not. Maybe it would.
Well, I know that the people that answer that presidential line are very sincere about what they're doing, but where they pass that on to at step number 2 is where the big question mark comes up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We got to get it worked on, so give us a project. We'll have to reschedule and do a follow-up, because we have to follow this up and see where it ends up. Get more on top of it than what we've been. So, and there's probably people out there that support it. That's fine, too. But there's got to be more people that don't support it, because they can see the hazards. But anyway, John, we're out of time here. We're down to 39 seconds, according to my time clock. So I appreciate you coming on, Ray. Appreciate you calling in and helping out here. You give us some good insight. And we're going to reschedule a follow-up show on this and see if we can't get something moving. And
that's a good idea.
Let's be sure it's not too far down the road. We don't want something happening. And with that, this will be Gerald Cook with Jay Basser. We'll be signing off now. I think we're totally out of time. It done shut me off.
You've been listening to the Hadit.com Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by Hadit.com. All opinions expressed here are the opinions of the individuals appearing on the show, and are not the opinions of Hadit.com or Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next time for another edition of Hadit.com Blog Talk Radio and the Ask Basser Show.